This is a brilliant idea.
All right, what are we doing?
Well, we need more kids that are willing to do stuff like this for a living. But more importantly, because we've lost the ability to show them how great life can be with these gigs,
all right,
we need to show them something else other than look at all this money you can make. Because there was a lot, there was a time where a lot of us could just look around where we lived and see what you could get working in these fields. Meet these men and women that were doing it and realize, like, this is pretty sweet. And this could be a way back in to that.
All right.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Last week, the Finger Lakes Youth Apprenticeship Program had their annual signing day.
Signing day.
Okay, so the Youth Apprenticeship Program gives kids an opportunity in high school to get paid for co-ops and apprenticeships with job shadowing at like 10 different companies in the greater Rochester area.
Right.
And the way that they set this up is genius.
What do they do?
So tell me, you know how kids that are going to go play college sports have these press conferences at their high school?
Yeah.
And they announce where they're going to play football or basketball, and then they sign a letter of intent, and then they hold up the jersey with their mom and dad, and everybody smiles.
Yeah, it's on TV.
Okay. They did that with the apprenticeships.
All right, good idea.
And they did it at Edison Tech. So the kids sit down at a table with the backdrop behind them. They sign the paperwork for which apprenticeship they want to take. They then give them a jersey with the name of the business they're going to work for.
Right.
The news comes down. They tape the whole thing. Their parents can be, some of the kids' parents were there.
Right.
It was awesome.
So give them a little razzle-dazzle.
Exactly. It was genius.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yes. And before you say it's silly, this program alone has connected over 800 students with local businesses, giving them real work experience at a young age in fields that need young people. And it shows these kids what a stable, well-paying, great option jobs like this could be if you were to do it for a living. And it's desperately needed right now. Tommy?
It's a great idea.
It's the smartest idea I've heard in a long time. I'm like jealous of how smart whoever came up with this idea was.
There's a problem here, though.
Oh, don't be a dick.
No, listen. Because we think it's cool.
Yeah?
So that may mean it's not cool.
No, I'm cool. I'm going to be cool forever.
I mean, we're like, this is awesome. Wow. Awesome. And I have a feeling that, like, if we think it's a cool thing, then kids may not think it's a cool thing.
I'm going to argue.
Do we share the cool factor here?
Okay, let's. I think cool is a subjective term here.
Okay.
Here's why it is subjectively cool.
Okay.
Right. Sorry, let me try it again. A kid going to play college sports gets a ton of attention.
Oh, sure.
Right? And congratulations and kudos.
Yeah, big man on campus.
A kid that's just going to college, period, will get a lot of congratulations and kudos and high fives from people in their life. For some reason, over the last 20 years, 30 years, the idea of a kid going into a trade was almost looked at as an afterthought.
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything else, so you're going to go do this. And that's not the case.
Yes.
And the fact that these kids are getting kudos for making a decision that this may be something they want to do, Kimmy, is what makes it cool.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is Kimmy right? 252 WCMF?
I mean, it makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know how in touch we are with what kids think is cool.
Come on, look at me, man. I got a 14-year-old who doesn't talk to me.
Did you hear Tommy talk about the halftime show 5 minutes ago?
Okay, it's a valid point. All right.
Right.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Tommy, we know there's been a dip in trade jobs in manufacturing.
Oh, for 20 years.
There you go. And the argument from folks in those jobs, why the kids aren't doing it, is they don't want to work hard anymore.
Well, they're tough, demanding jobs. Some of them are pretty grimy.
These kids are soft, Tommy.
A lot of soft boys
soft
out
kids.
There.
That is the rallying cry of the bitter old man. You can't handle what we do, and that's why you don't want to do it.
And I don't think they make an attempt to appeal to women either.
Okay.
They don't really reach out to women, who they also need to do these jobs.
You're right. I mean, we've seen Rosie the Riveter posters.
She was tough.
Yeah, she was.
There's that picture of her punching Hitler in the face.
All right. When it comes to this whole, the kids are too soft to do our jobs, can I present another theory as to why these kids aren't going into the trades?
All right.
Kids of the last 20 years don't fully understand what these jobs offer. Because when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
The neighborhood I grew up in was full of guys who did these jobs. And even my old man, it wasn't a trade. He was a cop, but he belonged to a union.
Yeah.
I lived in a neighborhood of union guys. And I witnessed with my own eyes that you could buy a house and raise a family and take vacations and have
nice
things.
You could walk out on them. See ya. I'm going to go. You could go get another. You could get a job where you could get two families. How about that?
One job, two families?
One job, two families.
But what I'm getting at is, living in that environment, unknowingly it was beaten into my head that this was a great option for the rest of my life. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of assumed where I grew up that I would have a job like that when I got older. Yes. But as time has gone on and fewer people have had these jobs, it gives kids less access to seeing people with them. And when you don't see what kind of life you can have, when you don't see how fun the people who have these jobs are when they're not on the job, you assume that A, these jobs don't pay well, and B, the guys who do them are just dicks because you only see them on the news and Facebook going, kids are too soft to do our jobs now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was your environment.
If you want these kids back in these jobs, and we desperately need them, you need to let them know what's waiting for them, and you need to make it exciting for them. And I think that's what this program does.
Yeah. Put a little show business.
Okay, but here's the thing.
What is that?
Not every kid, Tommy, can go through this program at Edison Tech, right?
Yeah.
So I will ask this question. All of you carpenters and plumbers and machinists and tradesmen and women and union folks out there, 252-WCMF, 252-9263, what can you do to make the trades and manufacturing look cool? How do you wrap your arms around these kids and get them on board and with all of your might not yell in their face, you're too soft to do my job? Because I think less yelling is a good start.
Yeah.
Never, is that fair?
Never worked on us
right?
being yelled at.
Well, but that's just it.
Yeah.
Tommy, if all kids hear is about how lazy they are and they couldn't handle these jobs anyways.
You're too fat to get out in a truck.
But you're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, you do.
Right?
Mm.
Like, I suck and I'll never be able to do the job.
Yeah.
Where do I sign up? Right? Like, why don't you focus on the positives more?
There you go.
I'm just saying, the pay, the camaraderie, the job security. You can't export a plumber.
No.
You can't export a carpenter.
Right, you're not going to lose your gig.
You machinist, maybe you should go learn how to be a carpenter. I don't know, like, what in your head makes a trade cool? Why am I asking you?
No, they need to market it to kids.
Okay, but how do you do that?
Well, that's the key. Like, how do you make all the trades look cool? Because if you zero in on one thing, it doesn't work. It has to be some kind of blanket campaign, just the same way they attack cigarettes and any other thing they want kids to like stay away from. Take the same mechanism.
Okay, just say yes, not the just say no campaign.
Kind of like that,
just say yes.
But they pound that stuff in.
Okay.
That's what you got to do.
So just
kind of campaign like that, but not cigarettes or drugs, it's the trades.
Is there a famous person who somewhat works in this field or has a background in that field? Because, I mean, that's
that came up working with their hands.
But here's the thing. Even if they came up working with their hands, they eventually got into something else that made them famous, which is, you know, they got out of doing that job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There was that guy, Mike Rowe, that had the dirty job.
Yeah, you know how he got famous?
Oh.
He got a union card joining an opera.
Right, there you go.
I don't know if he's a guy we want to
push
use.
Opera. We need young, fat people to the opera.
You're too fat to sing!
We don't have a fat woman to sing anymore.
Too fat to
died.
Why is she dead?
She had a heart attack.
What is wrong with you? It's so dark today. 252-WCMF. We're talking about this program, the Finger Lakes Youth Apprenticeship Program, and it's a brilliant idea. Every year, they have their annual signing day, and the apprenticeship program gives kids an opportunity from high school to get paid co-ops and apprenticeships, job shadowing the 10 different companies. Over the last however many years, they've connected over 800 kids with local businesses in positions where we need kids to do it.
Yeah, working with your hands.
And they do this signing day much like kids who are playing college sports do their signing day. They have the kids pick which apprenticeship or job share they want to do. They put down a little piece of paper in front of a backdrop. They got two grown-ass guys who work in the trade sit next to them. They sign. They hand them a jersey with the name of the business. They take a picture. It's a big to-do. The news comes down. It makes it cool and fun. How do you make the trades cool and fun? Dan is on CMF. Hey, Danny boy. What's up, buddy? Dan, you there?
Hey, how's it going,
good,
man?
Good, brother. What do you got?
Well, my son recently just started a co-op, and how he started is he saw my paycheck.
Okay,
he said, damn, Dad, you make a lot of money.
How old is your son?
He is 17.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
He's a senior in high school, and he goes to Wamoco for electricity, and he just started a co-op.
He's not to be an electrician. He goes for electricity. All right, so, Dan, but here's...
an electrician.
No, I got you. Dan, here is my question, because maybe your son understands the value of money, I do wonder, even with seeing the paycheck of someone who works in the trades, if it would register with the kid what an opportunity this is. Because, Dan, when I was that age, I kind of assumed whatever I did when I grew up, I was just going to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter.
I think every kid's like that.
Just roll out whatever job, and I'm going to be the most successful of all time.
True, true. And, well, he got to see me as well.
Okay.
Being an electrician and seeing the trades.
Okay.
So, and he's a tinker like I am, so.
All right. I mean, Danny, do you think you'll be able to handle it?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, there you go. Have a little faith in the kid. That goes a long way, Tommy.
That's it. Positivity.
Yes, positive reinforcement. It's not being a bitch. It's making sure your lights work 30 years from now when you got to call somebody.
Indeed, indeed.
Dan, thanks for the call, man. Good luck with your son.
Thank you. Go Bills.
Go Bills. 252 WCMF. Let's talk to, you know, we were looking for a celebrity.
Okay. Who, that came out through the ranks.
Yeah, that we can use as like a poster child. Let's talk to Natasha. Hello, Natasha.
Good morning, gentlemen. So it's not necessarily the trades, but it's even harder. What about agriculture? I mean, you've got an MVP that is Josh Allen, who's literally a farm kid.
Yep.
Grew up in California with cotton and nuts, I believe.
Big old dork like, with a 4-H coat.
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that life.
No.
That is my life. I'm literally pulling into my second dairy farm right now.
Why, like, why would you need two dairy farms, Natasha?
She's got two hands.
I can't fit them all in one spot. I got a lot of cows.
So you're
literally like... I think there's a resource there. He's already doing some of that podcast work, right? Like, let's get kids to think about the idea of you can drive incredibly huge equipment. You can work on large-scale agricultural stuff. The amount of smart tech going into ag right now is insane.
I mean,
guys,
she's not...
drawing...
I'm sorry, Natasha. I didn't mean to catch up. No, I mean, she's not wrong. And we talked a couple months ago, again, how the state of New York is trying to find younger farmers because people are aging out of that thing. And we talked about how hard
but that is back-breaking work.
Not as hard as being
not.
An MVP.
I mean, if you actually do the science side of it, dude, like, grow up.
Yeah, dude.
You don't milk cows by hand anymore. I mean, this is not your father's farm. This is literally mechanics. This is incredible engineering nowadays. There's guys flying drones, like, specifically dusting specific areas of my field that are low in phosphorus. Like, the ideas and the concepts out there are incredible. This isn't backbreaking work.
But Tommy was just
how do you get the food out of the ground?
You should like go like recruit people, Natasha. Like I feel like I want to go work on a farm.
You're dressed for it right now. You go. They'll pull up a flatbed right up front.
And Tommy, you were just saying that your fennel felt less phosphorus.
Yes.
So this would actually help you out.
This would actually help him. Absolutely.
Natasha, that's a great call. Thank you. I appreciate the call.
Bye, guys.
All right, take care.
Right, there you go.
252
WCMF.
Tommy wanted to make fun of that so bad, but he couldn't wrap his head around the word she was using.
It went over his head immediately.
It was too much.
Much like that phosphorus drone. So, you know, here's the thing, and I see you guys on hold, sit tight. There's a lot of kids that want to work with their hands. There are a lot of kids that don't know what they want to do for a living, and their families can't afford to burn $30,000 where they go looking for it at a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, again, whenever we have these discussions, it becomes a battle because I'm looking at the Facebook.
It's like all in on one or the other.
Yeah, between college and trades. There's nothing wrong with both. I mean, if a kid has a passion,
test the waters.
for college or wants to see what that's like, that kid should go do it. They get one life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's also possible that that kid doesn't understand the benefits that could be waiting for them on the other side. And there's another interesting part of this.
Yeah, farm droning.
Farm droning.
Farm droning is the life for me.
I think you could also make the argument that the guys that are angry about this, kids not joining the trades, also their fathers are the reason why nobody's in.
Mm.
Parents who did these jobs back in the day, the trades jobs, the union jobs, a lot of them did them because they didn't want their kids to have to do them. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, the next generation was going to have a better life.
It's American Dream Syndrome, right? Like, I bust my ass.
An easier life.
Yes. I'm going to bust my ass so I can afford for you to go to college, and you're going to have a better life than me.
And that happened.
And that's great.
And then we ran out of people to do these jobs.
Exactly. And I think that also contributed to the idea that these jobs were lesser than other jobs because the men that were doing them did them so their kids didn't have to do them.
Because they were taken for granted.
Agreed.
You know, it was an automatic.
Yes. I mean, look, you ain't got people coming off of boats anymore that are willing
to line up. Yeah, there isn't 10 guys looking for one job.
Exactly. 252 WCMF, making the trades cool. I think we're making progress.
Hey.
We're nailing it.
Timmy's ready to hit the farms right now.
Let's talk to Adam. Adam, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man.
So, finished carpenter, 37 years. My son's 13. since he was smaller, I was good with his hands.
Okay.
I'd buy him Legos, he'd put them together, and then he'd actually take them apart and build something else out of what he had. And it was like, wow, already I can see he wants to do what I do. But no, he wants to play games.
All right, Adam, fight it. Hold on, fight it. I feel the old man coming out of you. Fight it, Adam.
Yeah, so I brought him to work a couple times. He kind of was, like, the first day, he was like, you know, okay. And then by the second day, can I get my phone? Can I get my phone out of the car? When are we going home?
Man, your son sounds like a grown man.
Right?
So what'd you do?
I said, okay, maybe the money. So one day, I got a big wad of cash from a customer. And I go, look, you see this right here? This is what you can get from doing this. And literally,
Man, it works with strippers.
You know, right? But he wants to be an F1 driver. I says, well, you better find a rich girlfriend then.
Yeah, they all have hot girlfriends, bro.
All right, so Adam, your son is currently 13?
13, yeah.
Okay, so you don't see him wanting to go down that same road? I mean, you know, Adam, listen.
Still
if he
early.
Likes cars, he could be a mechanic.
Well, actually, last week he told me that he's gonna be a freshman next year. He's going to drop French and take woodworking.
Okay.
Okay.
So that might have some light at the end of the tunnel. Okay. I don't know if he's doing it because he doesn't want to do French anymore. Or maybe. Right. Which he should already know because his mother's French-Canadian, but she never taught him French. So I thought it would be... Exactly.
You can't win.
Easy for him, but he didn't do it.
All right, Adam, let me say this.
You know, he don't want to complain.
He's only 13, though. I mean, he's figuring it out.
Yeah,
you know?
He wants to
drive a fast car.
And here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. And, Adam, I get it, man. I understand the frustration of being a father. You know, man. You know. And also, like, the hope that your kids see you in such a light as a hero that they want to, you know, go down the same path that you did. But, I mean, Adam... If your son grows up and decides, you know, that's not for him, that could also be a blessing in disguise. I mean, maybe he's got aspirations that go in a different direction that he'd be better at than being a carpenter.
No, I hope so. I do hope so. But right now, this business, there's nobody coming up. Hmm. Like I said, I've been doing it 37 years. There's a couple other guys my age. Been doing it just as long, and right now we're at the top of the line of everybody doing it.
Yeah.
But there's no young kids coming up.
And no shelves.
Soon, there's going to be nobody.
Books are on the floor.
Nothing. No one's going to be here to do anything.
And if you want a French-speaking carpenter, you can just forget about it, man.
Oh yeah, forget that.
Adam, good luck with your boy, son. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
There goes Adam. I mean, it's an interesting idea. Well, like what we're looking at here, because you have all this money on the table, right? Like he said. It is just there for the taking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is show these kids how successful they can be in a job that cannot be eliminated.
Yeah.
AI ain't going to build a shell for you. But God, I sound like an old man.
But I don't know how much that resonates with a 13-year-old.
Well, 13's young.
It's young.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
It's also an interesting, a lot of these jobs are interesting because they're jobs that if you don't get into them or are interested in them when you're at that, you know, 18 age, it seems like something you don't switch over to later in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it's hard. It would be really hard to do that. But, like, it's almost like if you don't get a kid interested in it early, like, it's just you're never going to get that. You're never going to hook that person.
It's a good point. Maybe they're fishing in the wrong pond. Maybe you go after guys in their maybe
I don't
women
know,
in their
but 20s. Does that exist? Like, do people are people learning that later in life?
Grown-ass straight
school. I get one family member. They moved to South Carolina. The guy was in real estate in New York.
Yeah.
Goes down, with my niece. Loves to tinker. You know, the real estate business is kind of tough.
Sure.
He ends up being a heating and cooling guy. He went through the program in a year, and he's a heating and cooling guy, like an Isaac.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
And this guy, and the kid's, I say kid, he's 50 years old.
I mean, look, now we're solving all kinds of problems. Not only are we making the trades cool, we're coming up with grown-ass trade school.
Look at this.
Come on, we're doing it,
adult
man.
Adult trade school.
Doing it. Break room. All right, let's take a break. It takes a big man to apologize.
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the credit one politician who's been all over the news is looking for.
Okay.
However, there are different kinds of apologies.
Okay.
And this may not be the let's move on move
yeah.
that this town supervisor Maybe he thinks it is.
So what happened?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. Over the last 2 weeks, Irondequoit Town Supervisor Andre Evans has been embroiled in a sexual harassment scandal. We talked about it twice last week. A former employee who resigned from her job claims that Evans made several remarks and comments involving her body and their relationship that made it impossible for her to work with him. And I want to be clear, according to her, the relationship was strictly professional. Mm-hmm. He allegedly made comments about her legs, asking if she thought other employees believed they were, and I'm quoting the report, boinking. In his interview, the town supervisor said he doesn't even use the word boinking. There's allegations of an awkward interaction involving comments he made about her in a bathing suit by a pool. There is a moment at the 4th of July Irondequoit Festival.
This is specific.
Yes, where allegedly a hot dog and the female anatomy came up. All of this being reported by an independent investigation done by an outside third party. And right now they are all just allegations. Yeah. We are a fair show. They are just allegations. And Evans, the supervisor, has maintained his innocence. So much so that even last week he said he still planned on running for re-election.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere.
All right, well, things kind of changed over the weekend.
Right.
He is still planning on running for re-election, and he still maintains he did nothing wrong. But he's here to say he's sorry.
Okay.
In a statement from the law firm representing him that came out over the weekend, he said, and I quote, "I first need to apologize if my words were heard in either a diminishing or inappropriate way by anyone. Mm. I would never intend to cause harm with anything I said. And I am simply so sorry if my words were heard in a way I did not mean." So just to summarize that quote,
right.
He's sorry if you heard it wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's not an apology.
Yes. Yeah.
He's apologizing for you taking it
offended.
Yes.
You took it the wrong way.
Yes. Yeah. What are you doing, man? Like, because you say, like, maybe I said these things, but if I did and you took offense, that's on you, and I'm sorry you did that.
You're
right?
Too sensitive.
You got it. But he goes on.
All right.
He goes on. It's a long apology. Quote, "Having worked with people from different generations and backgrounds, I'm acutely aware that friendly banter can be misunderstood, and I regret saying anything that was taken in a harmful manner." And here's the other thing. End quote. If you've worked with people from different generations and backgrounds and are acutely aware that friendly banter can be misunderstood, you wouldn't have gotten in this mess in the first place!
Yeah.
Because with the allegations here, according to the report, it's not one or two questionable remarks.
Yeah.
There's 34 pages in the report!
That's a lot of boink.
So, well, he doesn't even say that word.
Yeah.
He goes on to talk about his family, how he'll address what he sees as folks coming for him politically in the future. Mm. You can read his whole statement on 13wham.com. It is way too long for us to read.
Okay.
Okay. Tommy?
Yep.
I don't know if this does what it seems this man thinks it's going to do.
Well, it doesn't do really anything.
Okay.
I mean, people are already on either side of the, you know what I mean? You're not going to sway anybody.
But even if you're not going to sway, right?
With a legally drafted statement.
Okay, you're right. But I mean, there have been people who have done wrong. And again, these are just allegations. Right now, he's maintaining his innocence. Mm. You heard his apology there, right? There are people that have done wrong that simply threw up their hands and said, "I did wrong and I'm sorry."
Yeah.
And that's an apology. Because you can't say you're sorry if you don't admit you did something wrong.
Right.
Right.
And he doesn't really admit doing wrong here other than he was misunderstood by the person that took such offense to his comments.
Yeah.
And then again, he talks about folks from different generations, and he understands the pitfalls and perils, but those people resigned, one of them, instead of working with you.
Right.
How, after everything that came out last week in the allegations, did this make it better than before you said anything?
Because he's never going to, it sounds like he's never going to flat out apologize.
Okay.
Because that admits I was wrong. I did these things.
I can't think of a time we've ever talked about any story like this where there was an actual
apology.
Well, not only just an apology, but a full admission of, yes, I said these things and I shouldn't have, or yes, I did that and I shouldn't have. It's always just, I'm sorry if.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to ask a serious question, and I think you're the expert in this room because I have never in the 20-some-odd years I've known you heard you apologize for anything.
Well, if you feel that way.
If is the key thing.
I feel sorry for you.
Okay.
Good.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And this goes past politicians and, you know, people you see on TV.
Yeah.
How are human beings so bad at apologizing?
I think it's men.
No!
No. No! I mean, we've talked about, keeping it with politicians, we've talked about female politicians who also do not apologize.
Right.
My wife has never said I'm sorry to me in our entire marriage. I'm not making this up.
Oh.
She does not have the physical capability to shape her lips in a way where I am sorry came out of her
mouth. I guess because you feel like it's a sign of weakness.
Okay.
Is it a sign of weakness?
It must be.
Or are you...
Shame?
I think sometimes when people tell you that you did something wrong, your immediate reaction is
defensive.
Anger.
You get defensive.
Well, you're mad that somebody would even accuse you of that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's harder for people to apologize because, well, like, how dare you even tell me I did something wrong?
Okay, that's a great point, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. Mm. But what's shocking about that, Kimmy, is I understand why the knee-jerk reaction when somebody tells you you're wrong.
Yeah, they're coming at you.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that makes sense. I get it. I get it. But, I mean, there is also time where you walk away from that situation, run it in your head a bunch of times.
Left alone with your thoughts.
Mm. Exactly, where, look, man, we've all had those moments where we've realized, oh, God, I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
What shocks me, Kimmy, is there aren't enough people in this world that come back afterwards and go, you know what? I'm really sorry. I screwed up back there.
Yeah.
Like, when is the last time you had somebody in your personal life sincerely apologize for doing something wrong?
I can't think of it, but probably if they do, I bet if you apologize, if you sincerely apologize for something, you will be punished for it.
What? No, that's the problem.
And I think that's the perception.
You think people will go even harder at you if you apologize?
Yeah, I knew it. I knew that guy was like that. I think that is
that
how people feel.
You're right. But I think that person's going to say that anyways, no matter what statement you make.
Yeah, but now I give them something to hang their hat on.
But here's the thing, man. You've never apologized, so you don't know.
Yeah, true.
I mean, like, that's just
it. Pretty sweet ride.
Again, I understand why you would think something like that. But you didn't say... I think the perception is, you said, when you apologize...
You will be punished for it.
No, well, but you're already being punished without apologizing.
Honesty, kindness will always be punished.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard
in
my life.
I'm telling you, man, be kind to somebody. They will take advantage of your
ass. I'm kind to people. I don't get taken advantage of.
I've seen you. Oh, you kind? You kind?
What? Where have I been taken advantage of?
Whoa.
I'm carrying your career through the mud here. How about that?
Thanks.
Getting taken advantage of every day. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about the town supervisor for Rondacoy facing all kinds of allegations levied by a former employee, sexual comments alleged about her body, an awkward situation where he commented about her in a bathing suit. Other employees asked if she believed. Other employees thought they were boinking. alleged comment about a hot dog.
Yeah.
And anatomy, and he apologized, kind of. Paraphrasing, you can read the whole apology at 13wham.com. Said, I apologize if my words were heard wrong.
It's almost like, get over it. Kind of.
Well, in a legalese almost, way.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, why don't you get over it?
Like, here, this is what I'm giving you, so you better take it.
Yeah, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
No, but let's go back to what you said before.
What's that about?
Right? Like, this idea that if you apologize, you will be punished.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of you could give me a time in your personal lives where someone sincerely apologized to you. So if you've never done it, and no one's ever done it to you, how do you know that you'll be punished?
I'm sure it has happened.
Give me an example.
I can't remember.
You would, because it never happens. I mean, look, if you've never done it, and it's never happened to you.
How do they come up with the word if we've never done it? How do they even come up with a word for it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to think of just any example of, somebody well known, like, sincerely apologizing and it not, and it not helping their career, but it didn't end it,
I mean, I'm sure there are examples of it.
But, but even if somebody does apologize for something, they will point to something else of why that happened.
Okay.
That was out of their control.
Well, I mean,
people will do that saying, I apologize, but Jesus. My hands were tied. I didn't know that this was going to happen. Like, they will point you in another direction.
Okay,
with the apology.
I do understand, though, if you feel like you were misunderstood, wanting to add context to it, not necessarily making an excuse, but here's why I said what I said. Like, I get the need to defend yourself.
Justify what happened.
It's after you do that and still being sorry. It's hard for people to do both. Do that and be sorry about it.
All right, let's run an exercise here. All right, I want you to be my wife.
right.
Oh, what have I done with my life? I'm sorry, I'm looking at you as my wife.
Oh, what? So what am I supposed to
All right, so I yelled at you because I was stressed out at work. I came home. We got in a fight, an argument. We went back and forth. And I'm here to apologize to you now. So you're upset. You take the scene. Go.
All right, so why'd you yell at me?
All right, look, look.
I mean, it was very cruel what you said.
Look, I shouldn't have said what I said, and I was way out of line. I've got a lot of stuff going on at work right now, but that has nothing to do with you. And I really wish I could take back what I said, but I can't, and I'm begging you for forgiveness.
All right. So it's never going to happen again.
I will do everything I can.
Ah.
Well, no, but I can't. I don't want to lie to the woman.
So may happen again.
You're not even hot. So why am I married to you?
I don't like beards. you can't say I'm sorry, and if I say then it's not, and then say it may happen again, which means you're really not that sorry.
No, but,
because if you're sorry, it would never happen.
But
again.
Here's the thing: I can't sit here and promise you it won't. I mean, I'm a human with emotions. You don't think that's a satisfactory apology?
Well,
not if it's going to happen again.
I'm going to do my best to change it or not let it happen again.
Sounds like it's kind of vague.
Well, no, because if I said no, it's never going to happen again, and eventually it happens again, you're going to go, "You told me this would never happen again," and I want to be put in that spot. I love you, Tommy. I want to be with you forever.
Shave the beard.
I want to throw you over my shoulder and carry you around. Remember those fun Saturdays we used to have before the kids? I think that's a fair, no?
Okay.
No, am I wrong? You don't like that? That's not satisfactory? I'm the one making the money in this goddamn relationship. You come home, no dinner on the table.
Oh, you're in the wrong house.
Fennel every night. Every single night. I mean, Kimmy, you and your husband have gotten in arguments before.
Oh, sure.
Is he a good apologizer?
He is. He's very good at apologizing.
What about you?
Probably not as good as he is.
Do you not say I'm sorry?
I say I've said I'm sorry.
If I ask him when's the last time you said you were sorry?
No, I think I've definitely said I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah, you ain't.
Yeah, yes. You lie. Why you lie?
I can't think of a specific example in the moment, but
go.
I have definitely said I'm sorry.
I'm at the point in my relationship, and my wife's great, don't get me wrong, right? But I'm apologizing for things she did just to get everything finished.
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So you're not sorry?
No, but... Is she at work yet? Damn it, she's off today. No, I mean, I just want to get over the hump of
you realize though you're not giving a genuine apology by telling us.
No, I understand. This is now a side conversation about the genuine apology. I just
I don't really mean it though.
Haven't we all done it though? Like, I just want
this
to be over.
That's a whole different story.
I just hope it just burns itself out. Like, we just don't bring
it
up.
Out.
How are you
gonna bring it up?
That doesn't solve anything.
No, yeah, it does.
Does it?
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
He's got more rings than Belichick wore into the Super Bowl or the thing this weekend, for God's sake.
Yeah, just don't bring it up again.
Look, I mean, I think it all boils down to this, right? If we were really sit down and figure this out logically, it is okay to make a mistake.
Yes, it is. We're human.
As long as you atone for it and do the best you can to change what you did in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it is mind-blowing how all of us became either so bad or so adverse to saying simply, I am sorry.
Because we don't have any examples of it in front of us.
That is crazy. Because we haven't even got, I mean, like, not even a, you know, everyone loves to tell us when we're wrong. We haven't even gotten a phone call if someone's like, this person said they were sorry.
Yeah.
Not a single one.
Yeah.
Nope.
So are apologies dead forever?
Were they ever alive to begin with?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Did they ever exist?
Now I remember why I love you. Those deep thoughts.
It was always a ghost.
You know what I heard?
What?
There ain't tomorrow in that tank.
Ain't no tomorrow in that tank.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it right before the show's over.
You ain't got no tomorrow in that tank.
We keep saying it different. Can't even agree on that.
We'll offer several different versions of the t-shirt. All right, let's take a break. As awesome as it was watching the Chiefs just get their absolute ass kicked last night in the Super Bowl, we wake up this morning with the realization.
What's up?
The NFL season is over.
Yeah,
we have nothing to do on Sundays until July when preseason starts again. But before we send off this 2024-2025 NFL season,
where we at?
We have one last thing to take care of. You're hanging out in the Breaker, brunch, just classic rock, 96.5. WCMF's one of our most popular segments because we don't understand you people. Is Tommy Tells It Like It Is, where Tommy makes picks for the upcoming Bills game, completely confident, blindly walking in, knowing nothing about football, and falling on his face all the time.
Yes.
It's essentially Charlie Brown with the football, except he doesn't understand that the football's going to get pulled everywhere.
I had a couple of good runs.
No, you didn't, actually. You had more offers than you had twofers.
I think you started hot.
Yeah, very hot.
So we can't figure out why Tommy is so bad at this, picking games on Friday that happen on Sunday. And we decided, when the playoffs started, to see if Tommy prognosticating multiple weeks would actually help him.
Okay.
So we decided to give Tommy a couple of picks how the playoffs in the NFL would go. And he made those picks 4 weeks ago.
All right.
And we said when the Super Bowl was over, the day after, we would replay those picks. So now it is time to see if your long-term predictions
and memory
are better. Well, I know you don't remember anything you picked.
I don't.
So we're all going to find out together. Kimmy, are we ready?
I'm ready.
Let's make it happen.
Tommy told it like it is. And now we find out how it was. Excuse post-game Monday in the break room on WCMF.
Let's get to our first Mule playoff prediction.
Let's do it.
On CMF. Over, under, and it's been all the talk the last couple of weeks.
Does he get it? He don't get it.
Exactly. One MVP for Josh.
Is it a Splitsky still getting it?
Well, one half would be a push.
That he's.
I'll take the over.
You'll take the over. You think he's the MVP?
He should be.
Okay.
No, I mean, if you base it on... Because they talk about Lamar, right?
Lamar Jackson.
And they're basically saying they think everybody seems to think Lamar is the most talented quarterback, but he also has one of the greatest running backs that basically he's got a bulldozer behind him that helps him.
Agreed, 100%.
So you got to say Josh is doing more with less.
Yep.
So it's got to be him.
Just to be clear,
genius talk.
You are over
one
half an MVP for Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
Yes.
Damn, son!
Come on, called it.
Look at that!
Called it.
You sounded like an actual sports talking head there.
How about that?
Wow!
Yeah.
What were you?
I remember that.
What were you listening to the day
who
before?
Who said it first?
I don't know. Probably.
Oh, you're 1-0.
Look at that.
Oh my God!
All right, so that's it.
No.
All right, coming up.
Wait! You don't remember any of the picks. How do you know that you didn't do better on the second one?
Yeah.
What if the key to you picking the games is picking a month ahead of time?
Right.
All right, let's get to our second pick. From a Mule postgame playoff Monday on CMF. Over, under. 2.5 wins for your Buffalo Bills in the playoffs.
I say their balls are going to be in that dome.
Wow.
Balls in dome.
So you see.
Put that on a t-shirt. You sell that at a truck stop.
You'd sell a lot of those at a truck stop. You think Josh is taking this team to New Orleans for the Super Bowl?
It has to happen. This is it.
No, it doesn't. Okay, I hate when you do this. No, it's not your shot. You said last year and the year before was your shot, and they just keep getting better.
This is your double last year.
This has felt like a magical season.
To say that it's now or never is a stupid take.
Bro,
that is
stick around, brother.
Okay, so to be clear, you have the Bills over 2.5 wins in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, obviously, they didn't go.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I do find it interesting that you see a loss in the AFC Championship game as a failure of a season.
It is.
No, it's.
It felt like it is.
It is a failure.
Because it was against the Chiefs.
And you've been. You should be over this by now.
Yeah.
You should have this team figured out by now.
It's a rebuilding year. They didn't have. I mean, look last
but
night.
But you got there.
Last night,
mm-hmm.
You saw when a team has a legitimate deep threat, how vulnerable that Chiefs defense is. And I mean, the Bills didn't have that this year. It wasn't something they were able to pull off. But next year.
Ooh.
Oh, next year, buddy. You're 1-1. That's not terrible.
That's toughness league.
It's a Mule postgame excuse playoff Monday. A month ago, we made picks involving the entire playoffs as we ran an experiment to see if it was just the weekly picks that were throwing him off, if he could prognosticate better with more time involved.
Yes.
Now, let's get to our third pick from Tommy here on CMF. Over, under 2.5 home playoff games for the Bills.
Well, I'm thinking the Bills are, this is it.
Yeah, but you would.
And it's all going to line up.
But even if they continue, like it doesn't.
Stop that.
This is more, Chiefs lose? Yeah. That's what we're.
Well, the Bills would also have to win 2 games.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that
one. You're going over, you idiot.
Yeah, 3 home games. Damn. How exciting would that be, though, bro?
The Bills
had. Freaking cool.
But here's the thing.
This is like Jim Kelly days.
It wasn't that long ago the Bills had the opportunity to do that. And again, if you have BTSD, Bills Traumatic Stress Disorder, change the station. Again, you have to handle business potentially against the Ravens to even have a shot.
The Ravens are the only team that scare me.
Okay. You're not scared by the Chiefs?
No.
With all the recent history?
Yeah. No.
I think that Ravens team is tough.
Why? No, the easy was the under. They had to win 2 games, and the Chiefs had to lose 1 game.
If I picked that, you don't get to kick me around like you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're doing it for me, man. Yep. No, you pick these grandiose picks thinking that if they hit.
Team does better,
no,
man.
You're too selfish, man. I know you better than you know you.
You
want
know?
These grandiose picks, so if they hit, you get to sit here in your turquoise sneakers and go, look how smart I am. But they never hit. Learn your lesson, stupid. You're 1-2.
All right.
But you got a chance to get even here. Because there was.
I had that leadoff home run.
The final pick.
Yeah, there was no bonus pick. So this will make you 500 on the playoff pick.
All right, let's do it.
Let's get to our final pick from Tommy here on CMF. Over, under. one half a rally at the end of the season in downtown Buffalo.
So no matter lose.
I mean, they could lose. Do they have? I guess the question would be if they make it to the Super Bowl and lose, do they have something in downtown Buffalo for
them? Oh, I would think.
You think so?
Yeah.
When's the last team to lose and have something like that? I don't remember recently, Kimmy. I think you can make the argument that this team is so good and there are still expectations no matter what happens that if you went to the Super Bowl and lost, we're going to save it for when we actually win.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't think it would just organically, people would just show up?
You'd have like people at the airport showing up at the airport. But
I said downtown
count?
Buffalo.
Yeah.
So it has to be downtown organized. Yeah. That would be an organized by the city of Buffalo. Yeah.
All right, here, I'll give you this. 10 or more players, downtown. Whether or not it's organized by the city of Buffalo, if you have a gathering of 10 or more players with fans downtown,
with fans.
We'll count that as a rally.
Yeah, I think that would happen.
Even if they were to go to the Super Bowl and lose.
Yeah.
Okay, so to be clear, you are over one half a downtown rally at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to argue that the pep rally to send them to Kansas City was the rally, there were zero players at the rally.
But people did greet them at the airport.
Literally said in there, airport doesn't count.
Yeah. But it's very close to the downtown.
I don't know. Actually, it's not.
It's very close. I mean, compared to most cities.
Well, honestly,
damn near right next to the buildings.
Not as many people showed up to the airport as they have in the past.
Right.
Yeah, it was cold and late.
Yeah.
All right, so I would like to send a very special thank you as you went to 1-3.
The Bills would have went to the Super Bowl, I would have swept.
Yeah.
It would have helped, yeah.
Yeah. If my aunt was a man, she'd be my uncle, or what's that old man saying?
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
No, that's too gross for me.
She could still be your aunt with balls.
No, look, I agree with you. Like, it's an old saying.
Yes, it needs to be updated.
Absolutely, thank you.
We need to accept more people in these jokes.
But I would like to thank Mark, no matter what his aunt situation.
Who's Mark?
Mark Dilt, has been following and keeping statistics on all of our picks all season long.
Oh, it's a Dilt stat?
So somebody's doing our job for us.
Absolutely, because I'm not smart enough to pull this
off. It's a Dilt.
So, excluding the picks you just made.
Yeah.
Okay. Final tally for the year. You made 105 picks all season long.
All right.
You had 33 correct.
Okay.
Which means you averaged 1.6 correct picks per week, which is abysmal, especially when we discover.
I think it's as good as anybody does on TV.
Danger, who is on the show with us every Friday.
How do you do?
He had 62 out of 100 picks correct.
He does all that deep research.
Not only did he have a 600% winning percentage out of 100 picks he made, he averaged 3.1 right picks a week. Out of 5 picks.
You should get a job in sports.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
Like, do you know the money you would make in Vegas if you put money down? That's amazing.
You should do it.
And you are terrible. Terrible? Amazing.
All right. Well, you need contrast.
Like, he literally, on average, had 2 more picks than you did every week.
Yeah, but that's all that. He does a lot of safe picks.
Well, and I feel like
I feel like
Tommy's bonus pick was a given. For the experts every week.
He's still average.
I think that bumps up the average.
No
a little bit.
Guy's named Danger. Doesn't take any dangerous takes.
Okay, let's take out the bonus pick. He still averaged one more right
hanging
than you
out there, baby.
On a weekly basis.
I say you do Vegas. You stick it out.
Who's in Vegas? We're in Rochester. We got sportsbooks legal on my phone.
Right.
Saquon Barkley and his anytime touchdown cost me a $200 parlay last night. Thanks a lot, Quads. Happy birthday. Dick.
Quad.
I'm sorry. I overreacted. It was really fun watching it win the Super Bowl. All right, let's take a break.
All right.